Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. I want to turn again to Romans chapter 5. And I know we're few in number tonight, but the Lord bless those that came. And I try not to be too long tonight. And I want to read again the same verses that we read this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and verses 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And I want to take this phrase tonight, saved by his life. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can gather boldly in and through your name and come into your divine presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight you'll help us in this service, that you'll give us an unction, that you'll anoint us with the Holy Spirit to preach and to hear your word tonight. Pray for those that's laid aside sick, that you'll touch them and heal them. In the name of the Lord, I pray for my dad as he's gone to preach for Brother Billy, that you bless him and bless the people and have your way there tonight in Jesus' precious name. Pray, Lord, for each one's here tonight, you'll give them a special blessing, that you'll encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, that you'll have your way amongst each one of us. Bind every work of the enemy and spoil his goods in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you do answer prayer, and we say amen to all that's been praying. Especially for Brother Yule tonight, we do pray you will touch him.
Yes.
And heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you do undertake by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. I just want to take this phrase, this part from the latter part of verse 10. We shall be saved by his life. Now in the William Tyndale Bible, that part reads, we shall be preserved by his life. So we're preserved by his life, and I believe this is more. This doesn't just mean the life of Christ while he was here, but I believe this means the life of Christ now, while he's in heaven. Because the Word of God tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So Jesus Christ is living now, he's in heaven. And because he's living now, and because he's in heaven, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And because of that, he is the high priest that we can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. So we are living now. We are preserved by his life. And preserved means to be kept. Now we're not kept because of what we do, but we're kept, preserved because of his life. Saved by his life, preserved by his life. So Christ not only paid the price, we saw that it's through the death of Christ that reconciliation came, that the atonement came. He was that atonement. God was pleased for that. And we saw this morning, because of that, we are saved. We have the fullness of redemption. But not only are we saved, we are preserved. It's the Lord that keeps us. It's the Lord that preserves us. Do you ever hear of preserving anything? I don't know. People maybe don't do it so much these days. But people used to preserve stuff. How many ever heard of pickled eggs? I used to know a wee man, he loved the pickled eggs. I wouldn't mind a few of them myself. But there's not much of that. Maybe they do, maybe they raise. But I don't know if people eat as much of that. But you preserve the eggs, because you put them in the vinegar. Is that right? And the vinegar is like a preservative to the eggs. It keeps them. They don't go off. Now if you cook an egg and leave it on the side, you won't have to leave it long until it goes off, because it needs something to preserve it. And you know that God sent the Holy Spirit back to the believer so that we could be kept, because the life that He has now in heaven is the same life that we have here now through Him, because it's the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit, the same power of God, that's what we're kept by, and that's what's in us tonight, praise God. And I thank God for that. So I think this is tremendous how the William Tyndale Bible says it. We shall be preserved by His life, kept by the life of God. Now this word in this Romans chapter 5, this is the first time you'll see the word life mentioned. And you're up to the 5th chapter. But it's mentioned here, and this word life is mentioned in Romans here. Now also in verse 17 and 18 and verse 21 of the same Romans 5, let's just read it. Chapter 5, verse 17, 18, 21. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of God righteousness shall reign in life by one. Verse 18, Jesus Christ. So we're going to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness until eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wrong thing came by one man, but the right came also by one man. For as we all die in Adam, we all live in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And we know that the Lord is from heaven. First it is Christ's saving death. We saw that this morning. Then it is Christ's saving life. So it's a saving death and a saving life. So Christ died to save us, and Christ lives to preserve us and to keep us. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that's a strong salvation we have. It's a lot to preach about. People think there's not much to preach about in the gospel. I would beg to differ with them. They're wrong. There's a lot to preach about. When you really get into the Word of God, the Word of God's a blessing, isn't it? And there's so many studies in it and sayings and scriptures. When you get to 10 and together, it's wonderful. We're saved in this order. Now listen to this, Romans 5:9. From the wrath of God. In Romans 5:9, we are saved from the wrath of God. In verse 10 of Romans 5, we're saved by His death. And in verse 10 also, we're saved by His life. So we're saved from the wrath, we're saved by His death, and we're saved by His life. So His death and His life saved us and preserves us and keeps us. Christ's perfect sinless life on earth condemned man, even as the law condemned man. And in His perfect substitutionary death saves man, which the law couldn't do. So Christ's sinless life, Christ's perfect life, are you hearing me now? It condemned man, just like the law did. But the law had no strength in it to save man. But Christ's life could condemn the same, but it also had something more. It could save, which the law couldn't do. Amen. It could save, and the law couldn't save. But Christ could save. Aren't you glad that Christ could save? And He came to save, praise God. To uphold the life of Christ without His death is to totally condemn man. So if you just look at the life of Christ without His death, we're condemned. Yes. All of us are condemned because it's like the law. Because the man is absolutely perfect, sinless, and blameless. Now if you take away His death, you have no substitution, you have just His life. And just looking at His life, wonderful, we know that. We're not downgrading it, and I don't want you to think that. But I want you to see the importance of the death of Christ, because He took your place. So not only would it condemn you, but then He saves you. Because you see, you have to remember Jesus had no sin. But He became sin. Now that word became sin means that he took my sin, he took your sin, he took the sins of the whole world on himself at the cross. And that's why he's able to save. Praise God. Even as the law was under condemnation. This is why the gospel is in the order of the death first, a substitutionary death for sinful, and then his resurrection life. Therefore, Christ died for sinners. His death is for sinners. Christ also lives for sinners because of his resurrection life. So Christ died for sinners, but Christ also lives for sinners. So Christ died to save you. Then after Christ died to save you, God raised him from the dead. And not only did God raise him from the dead, but the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So you are preserved because he lives. The Bible goes further. It says because he lived, we live also. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So Christ's not only living in heaven, but remember he sent the Holy Spirit back to the day of Pentecost. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, says in the book of Romans, shall also quicken. And that word quicken in the original Greek means make alive. So it is Christ that makes you alive. He makes you to live. Because he's raised from the dead. The same Spirit that raised him is living in you. So you can say to him, Paul the Apostle, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So not only is the Lord living in heaven and is preserving you, but he sent his Spirit, and it's the same Spirit in heaven that's here. You see, God's everywhere, isn't it? God is a Spirit. Then the worship and much worship in Spirit and truth. John 14 verse 6. We're going to look at just a few wee scriptures. John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus. There's only one way to God, that's Jesus. There's no other way. So you see, there's no other religion won't do it. Organization won't do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you're in him and he's in you. And he says that in the book of John. He says, I am the branch, ye are the vine, ye are the branches. If ye abide in me, I'll abide in you. Then he goes on to John 14, 12. The works that I do shall ye do also, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Look at verse 4 of this. When Christ, who is our life. So who's our life? Christ. Christ's our life. Now, why would we not want to preach about something that's our whole life? Why would we not want to talk about someone which is our life? There's nothing else as your life. Christ is your life. Nothing else is your life. I want you really to get this tonight. I know you know that. But there's no other man as your life. And I was reading through different messages and things that Brother Branham said today. And he goes through it all, the prophets field, the law field, and all field. But God brought someone on the scene that wouldn't fail and didn't fail. And that something was Jesus Christ. And he never failed. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. The Lord's coming for his people. It's his promise. You see, this idea of we will bring about the coming of the Lord. We don't need to bring about anything. He will do it himself. What brought about our repentance? Well, one day, brother, I decided, no. You decided nothing one day. It was God's Holy Spirit that moved you. And it was God's Holy Spirit and the grace and mercy of God. It was his Spirit that moved you and it moved me. And it brought us to repentance. We decided nothing at all. We were away from God, alien from the commonwealth of Israel. It was God's doing. And just it was like God's doing, it's like anything. If God moves the people to seek him, if God moves the people to do anything, they never done it. It was God's grace that done it. Now we certainly have to be obedient. We believe that. But it's ultimately God. No man seeks God. God seeks man. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 10 to 12. Also bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So of course we're living by the life of Christ, we can expect His power in our body. Somebody believe that? Certainly we can. William Branham really goes into this. When you read some of the messages, he really goes into this. And he mentions a certain great preacher where he went out to some great lands to preach, and he failed. And they told him it was just, all in the mind type of thing. And they told him to prove it, and he couldn't do it. William Branham said, "What there's still men that do believe God to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. If they were challenged, they would believe God to do it." And we know what he was talking about. And God is able to do it. And Paul said he didn't come with words only, but the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Because if the life of God's in us, that means the power of God's in us. So you understand me tonight? If we say we have the life of God in us, the power of God has to be there. You say, can you turn it on? You don't need to. Why would you need to turn on something that's there? That's nonsense. Power of God's there. When the anointing of God comes in somebody, that's God's power. How many believes that? Now, thank God it won't be done, but when the anointing comes, God will do it. God can do it. God's able to do it. But that life of God's already in you. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Mm-hmm. You certainly don't believe the life of the devil's in you, do you? I don't. I believe the life of God's in me. That I'm one of the Lord's. Praise God. Verse 11 says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." So there might be death in our bodies. As we heard, we're waiting on the redemption to wait, but life's working in us as well. Life's working in us. Not only is life working in us, but something's going to happen. And that something's going to happen, Paul preaches about it in Corinthians 15, or 2 Corinthians 15, for he says, "This corruptible must all put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary." Because Christ conquered death, hell and the grave, and his life's in us. Romans 8 and 2 said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And that's some scripture. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why Paul the Apostle said, "Sin shall have no more dominion over you." And Paul the Apostle also said, "Death will have no more dominion over you." Death does not have dominion over the believer, and sin does not have dominion over the believer, because Christ's living in you. And even if this body goes to the grave, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. You're not dead. You're still living. The real believer doesn't die. The physical part's dropped off, but the soul is redeemed. The soul goes to be with the Lord. Now when the resurrection takes place, God's going to change that body that's in the grave. And I can't explain it all, but you know that the Bible says it, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those that went on. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord in here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. We're going to get a body change. Amen. So you hear William Branham talking about, he says, we bypassed our theophany to get here because of sin. But there is a theophany. Amen. And how many know that God met Abraham in theophanic form? You see, people think, people restrict God almost to, you know, when he's coming to do things. You can't work like that. God took himself a bit of dust and he made himself a body, and there he stood with Abraham. How many knows that's the Bible? God can do whatever he wants to do. And we should say amen to it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you see, I said this morning, and maybe shouldn't have mentioned politics or anything. Maybe I was wrong to do that. But you see, what I'm trying to tell you is, a man that's not saved cannot give anybody the ministry of reconciliation, for he knows nothing about it. It's like our brothers, and I've said it, and our brother John said it, and it's true. A man that's never operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit knows nothing about them. How many believes that? He knows nothing. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's talking out of a turn. And the same people talk about reconciliation, but if they're not born again, if they're not regenerated by the Spirit of God, they have no message about it. But the real believer has, for the Bible says here, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have that ministry. You have it as a believer. And you know that the life of Christ in you. And you know it was the death of Christ through the atonement, the life of Christ is living in heaven. So you're living because he's living. And not only are you living because he's living, but you have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he's touched. And that means he's moved by the feeling of your infirmities. So the Lord knows everything we're going through. And you know, as a father pitieth their children, so the Lord pitieth his. Amen. Christ died and now he lives to save. In John 14:19. Yet a little while and the world saith me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So the world has no ministry of reconciliation outside of the gospel. You don't have it, and they know nothing about this, but we as believers are living because he's living. As I live, ye shall live also. We're kept by the same Lord, the same life. The same life source. There's only one life source. Our brother Guy made a powerful statement. It may have been Wednesday night or one of the nights, I can't remember. But he said, you see, if you get all the what's called the bride together, you haven't got God. But yet God's in everybody. But here it is now. If we go down to the ocean, and you scientifically know the salt in the ocean and all the chemicals that's in the ocean, how many knows that? If you take one cup of water from the ocean, all the things that can be proved that is within the ocean will be in that glass of water, because it's part of the same water. And we have received the same Spirit. Now, put it all together, you don't have got God. God's still God. You see, God's never diminished. You can't spend God. You don't understand what I'm saying. You can't outdo it. God still remains God. That's why the Bible says he could save the worlds. I believe that. Maybe other preachers don't, but I believe God could save 1,000 worlds. And the Bible says the worlds were framed. Worlds, it says, by the Word of God. I know there are different ways you can explain it. I've preached about it before. There's different ideas on it. But however you look at it, God's able to do it anyway, isn't it? Amen. But everything that's in him is in the believer. Because it's the same Spirit. It's the same life source. For you're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So we're part of that body. Now, there's no such thing as somebody else being superior in the body. You understand me tonight? Now, people have made that, but that's not scriptural. The only thing superior is Christ. He's the head of the body. Yes. That's the superior part. But the actual body, there's none superior. And Paul goes into detail. And Paul says that the eye can't say till the other part, you don't need me, in the hand or the foot. Do you know what he's talking about? Mm-hmm. All the parts are needed, because they're all part of the body. Yes. Amen. Amen. And then Brother Branham says, I believe in a fivefold ministry. That's Ephesians, pastors, evangelists, teachers, and prophets. All for the perfection of the saints till we come into the unity of Christ Jesus, the perfect stature of the perfect man in Christ Jesus. But the Lord's ahead of it. Amen. So we're living because He's living. Jesus Christ lives in heaven in the power of an endless life. Want you to get that? He's living in heaven in the power of an endless life. The life Christ has is endless. It's beyond time, because before time was, He was. He stepped out of time, eternity, and He came into time. Amen. The power of an endless life. That's what we're living by. We're not living with something that has a time to it, but it's out of date. It's the power of the endless life. Praise God. And it is He, His risen, ascended life that He, by the Spirit, communicates to the believer day by day. He communicates to us day by day through that life. You say day by day, absolutely. You say, where's the scripture for today? It's simple. The Bible says that He holds the very breath we breathe. So there you are. You're living because of the Lord. Let me read this. The law of having a shadow. So then, if the worshipper under the law could not be purged because that the Lamb was only a shadow, and he went away with the same desire, yet it was speaking correctly to the right Lamb coming, and then when God sent His Lamb and He died, and the worshipper then coming put in His hands by faith upon the bleeding locks of the Lord Jesus, and can in your heart appreciate that He was the only thing that could ever come and redeem you, and you'd be lost and gone to hell, and then to appreciate His love for you when you were unlovable, appreciate His foreknowledge of you that you have a heart to do it, and appreciate His leading of the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place to accept it. And you lay your hands upon Him by faith and renounce your own life as a sinner and accept His life instead. The blood of Jesus Christ then cleanses you, and the life that was in the blood cell of Christ, which was none other than God Himself, the Holy Spirit, comes back into your life and coincides with your body, and you act and walk a Christian life till the day you leave the world, and the devil can't touch you. If he had to, amen, every promise in the book is yours then. So if God's life comes into you, you have a life you're living, but it's temporal. How many knows that? It's a temporal life. What's the life expectancy of a man? The Bible says 70 years. 10 extra by reason of health. That's in it. After that, man's on a bonus. How many knows that? That's the Bible. Now you know we can go further than that. You see, Adam and Eve, before they fell, there's no such thing as them not living 1,000 years. There's no such thing. They could have lived for I don't know how long, but you see, after they fell, you read of a man that reached over 900, but he never made 1,000. But we are going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. There's a reason why God's doing that, you know. Because His life's now in you and me. Amen. His life. So the life of God is now in me and you. Romans 5:5 says, and I love this verse, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So He's put His life in us. So the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. You know, if it was down there 7 days, you don't feel up to it, isn't it? You say, what do you mean? Well, the days you don't feel successful as a believer, whatever way you want to look at it. All of us go through that. Brother Brian really preached it well about all the emotions. And we've all so many emotions we go through, but at the end of the day, it's because of what Christ's done and His life that's in us that we're going to make it. Not down to any of them other things. It's down to what He's done for us. I'm glad for that, you know. Life of the Spirit is dealt with in Romans chapter 8. You know that. If you want to read Romans chapter 8, I'm not going to go to it now, but Romans chapter 8 starts out, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's some verse, to walk not after the flesh but the Spirit. No condemnation. So you're not condemned. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, and our brother put it up. First epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now that life's Christ. That's what he's talking about. It's about Christ, isn't it? That which was in the beginning, Jesus Christ. You could go to John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was... Somebody said to me, the Bible's wrong, there's no logos at the start. Where are they reading from? The original doesn't even say. You know the original says, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. That's how the original reads it. But as Mark Father said to me, there's no such thing. You see, he wanted to make out people, there's certain people, and whatever it is, they want to belittle Jesus. Now I have a problem with that. There's a problem if you're wanting to belittle Jesus. Because the Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The Bible says, never man speak like this man. The Bible says, if all the things were written that Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole world to contain it. The Bible talks to the special miracles the Lord did. Nobody else ever did them. You remember I read the scripture about that one night? A fellow said to me, there were greater things done on this day than ever when the Lord was here. Now, I know God done great things in this day, but there's one mistake he made at the start, and it was God that still done them.
That's right.
It wasn't a man. And if it was down to what a man could do, then go and get another man. But you can't, for it was the Lord.
Amen.
But I want you to know what you're reading about here is only a portion of what the Lord done.
That's right. Amen.
And I tell you, the Lord done it. He walked in the water. He raised the dead.
Amen.
He calmed the winds and the waves. I tell you, he done everything. He fed 5,000 of a boy's lunch in one scripture and 7,000 of a boy's lunch in another scripture. That's what our Lord's able to do. It's no trouble to them at all. In the same epistle of John, but in chapter 2 this time, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. We are promised eternal life. Now that life's in Christ. Let me make this statement tonight. The life is not in a certain organization. The life is not in a certain particular group that you join. They might have the life of Christ in them, but for you to get it, you won't get it because you join that group. It won't do it. The only one way to get that life, this life, and that's to be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you've got this life and you've got the life source. That's the supplier. You've got the supplier. Now, if you, any of you have the meters, who's ever got a meter? You know, you need to guard for the meter. I've got a meter. We've a meter at the house, and you know, if you don't top it up, it goes out. You might get a reserve for a bit, but you let the reserve go, it'll run out. But I want to tell you something, that the Lord's meter never runs out. The light source is always full. Amen. Never runs out. And you don't need to be like the television evangelist. Show to God. And you'll get this and you'll get that. The Bible says, come without money. Come without money. God will bless you. God will do it for you. Praise God. And the same epistle of John, chapter 5 this time. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 11, verse 13, verse 20. Let me read you this. And this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. It's not in a church, it's in His Son. Amen. Even someone else, we needed the Son to have this life. We never could redeem ourselves. I know people preach that, but they're false prophets. That's what they are. You make no mistake about it. A man that preaches to the congregation that, you know, like, more or less, we're the stuff. And you see, we really could have redeemed ourselves. And they stretch it so far. We were in God from the beginning. And you know, Brother Branham checks out a bit in that. And he says, now remember, that was in His attributes.
Yes, amen.
It wasn't a pre-existing soul.
Yeah.
He said that was in his thoughts as an attribute.
Amen.
You were there. God had a thought for you. But some people stretch it out so far as if more or less, you know, they could save themselves. Well, I'm sorry, I don't believe that's the Bible. I believe we need it saved. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that the life is in His Son. And it's only in His Son. It's nowhere else. It's only in His Son, praise God.
Amen.
Verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Christ Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life in Christ Jesus." So it's not about the church, it's about Him. Praise God, aren't you glad? You could have the best building, and it would be good to have a nice building. I'd really love that. But outside of that, it's the Lord, isn't it? You could have all them things and not have the Lord. "This life was found in the Son of God." I want to make that absolutely clear. I wrote this today. I want to make it absolutely clear that this life was in His Son. This life was nowhere else found, only in the Son of God. That's the only place it's found. In the Son of God. You can find it nowhere else. So when the Pope of Rome says, "Don't come to Jesus, you can come to me, Antichrist." And when a man, I don't care what group he belongs to, says, "We can redeem ourselves," he's Antichrist too. He's no different. Yes. Same spirit in both of them. You realize that? It's a false spirit. Aren't you glad Jesus loved you? All of us. Even in our condition we were in, we could never run out and point a finger at nobody. Not a one of us. But we ought to have that love that God had for us. For others. Praise God. And I'm almost closing. Now let me just read you this. And you can look at these scriptures. Or brother, I haven't given these. But saved by His life. His life here spoken of is not to be understood of His life in the flesh, but His life in heaven. That life which ensued after His death, compare Romans 14 and 9. He was dead and is alive. Revelations 1:18. We are reconciled by Christ humbled. We are saved by Christ exalted. The dying Jesus laid the foundation in satisfying for sin and slaying the enemy, and so making us salvable, thus in the partition wall broken down, atonement made, and a tender reserve. But it is the living Jesus that perfects the work. He lives to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25. It is Christ in His exaltation that by His word and spirit effectually calls and changes and reconciles us to God, is our advocate with the Father, and so completes and consummates our salvation. It's not just 2,000 years ago, but it still continues. And that's it. Amen. God raised Him from the dead, and it never stopped there. He's still living tonight. We're worshiping a living Savior. The tomb's empty. The cross is empty. But heaven's full. Praise God. Heaven's occupied. Glory to God. Heaven's occupied. And heaven's occupied with the Prince of Glory. The Lord of all glory is occupying heaven tonight. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You're saved by His life. You're living. You're preserved. I thought that blessed me, you know, when I read that in Tyndale. The man was inspired. Preserved. Kept. So who's keeping you? The Lord. See tomorrow when you get up. Know it's the Lord that's keeping you. It's His life. It's living in you that's keeping you. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our mistakes, He's keeping us. And thank God that we do have shortcomings and mistakes, the blood lays there for us. And because we have an advocate, that means a way to the Father. Because of the atonement through Jesus Christ the righteous, we have a way in all the time, and we can come and plead the merits of the blood. And the Lord cleanses. And you know what John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you for listening tonight. Praise God. Let's just close our eyes tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are the light of the world. Oh, what a light. The light that shineth in darkness. Lord, we know that the darkness never comprehended the light, but the light comprehended the darkness. And we know that the smallest light can comprehend the darkest darkness. And you are the light of the world. That's what you said of your people. Lord, when we've got you in us, your life living in us, we then also are the light of the world. Lord, you said that we're not to hide our candles under the bushel, but we're our light to shine before all men, because we're your disciples. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us to let our light shine. Give us wisdom throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the incoming month. Fill us with your wisdom. And oh God, fill us with your power and your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask for the unspoken request in this room tonight. You know the needs in people's lives and hearts and minds. You know the struggles, Lord. All the different things that's going on, you know all about it. Lord, I just bring it all before your throne of grace tonight. And I pray that you'll give us a mighty filling of the power of Almighty God. A mighty baptism of fire from heaven. Oh Lord, stir your people tonight, I pray, Lord Jesus. Oh God, revive us in the midst of the years. Turn us again and we shall be saved, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your words of truth tonight. For your word is a lamp on our feet and a light unto our path. We truly say tonight, you are the only true life source. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We magnify the lovely name of the Lord Jesus tonight. And we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free from the power of sin and death. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Father, we just praise your name. Bless your people now. Give them strength and grace. Help us as we go home. Help us at home. Help us in our walk each day with you. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord Jesus, each day. Lord, I pray that you will add to your work such as should be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes.
Servant isn't Savior. He's in the Word today. I know that He is living. Whatever His name is.